Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 2. Billy Graham was returning to Charlotte, North Carolina after speaking engagement with President Trump. When his plane arrived, there was a limousine there to transport him to his home. As he prepared to get into the limo, he stopped and spoke to the driver. He said, "You know, I'm 99 years old, and I've never driven a limousine. Would you mind if I drive it for a while?" The driver said, "Not a problem. Have at it. Enjoy." Billy gets into the driver's seat, and they head down Interstate 77. A short distance away sat a rookie North Carolina state trooper operating his first speed track. The long black limo went by him driving 80 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. The trooper pulled out and finally caught the limo. He got out of his patrol car to begin the procedure. The young trooper walked up to the driver's door. When the glass was rolled down, he was surprised to see who was driving. He immediately excused himself and went back to his car and called his supervisor. He told the supervisor, "I know we are supposed to enforce the law, but I also know that important people are given certain courtesies. I need to know what I should do because I've stopped a very important person." The supervisor asked, "Is it the governor?" The young trooper said, "No, he's more important than that." The supervisor said, "Oh, so it's the president." The young trooper said, "Nope, he's even more important than that." The supervisor finally asked, "Well, then who is it?" The young trooper said, "It has to be Jesus because he's got Billy Graham as his chauffeur." Amen. Miss Billy Graham. Amen. Matthew chapter 2. Let's start reading that verse 1. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." This morning I want to talk about these wise men for a short moment. The Bible says, "Wise men from the east." Now there is a lot that we don't know about these wise men. First and foremost, we don't know how many there actually were. We often see three, but the Bible never gives us an exact number. And three most likely came from the number of gifts that they brought unto Christ. Secondly, we don't know their names. Now, throughout history, Belshazzar, Caspar, and Melchior have been attached. However, these names are never given in the Word of God. In fact, those names came out of a 7th century opera about Christmas. Third thing is, we don't know exactly where they came from. The Bible simply tells us here that these wise men came from the east. Many Bible scholars believe that they probably came from Babylon. Again, there's many things that we don't know about these men, but one thing we do know is that they were wise. The Bible makes it very clear over and over that these were wise men. They are referred to as magi on many other occasions. And magi means that they were experts in the study of stars, experts in astrology. And they came to Jerusalem by way of following this brilliant star, the Bible tells us. Now this brings us to another thing that we are not sure of. What exactly was that messianic star? That brilliant light in the sky? We do know it moved across the sky as the Magi followed it to Jerusalem. The word star here literally means a bright light. Now, many scholars, myself included, I believe that that bright light, that brilliant light, is referred to as the same light referred to in the Old Testament as the Shekinah glory of God. This Shekinah glory light is what led the Israelites through the desert. As it moved across the sky, they would pack up and they would follow it. When it stopped moving, they would set up camp wherever it stopped. The Shekinah glory of God. The Bible also tells us when Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem, it tells us that the Shekinah glory of God filled the entire temple. The Holy of Holies is where the light was concentrated. Right before the Babylonians captured Jerusalem, in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible tells us that the Shekinah glory of God left the temple. The Bible tells us it went out the eastern gate, it went to the Mount of Olives, and then ascended back up into heaven. Remember, there's no coincidences in the Bible. When Jesus comes a second time, where is he going to stand? Right on top of the Mount of Olives. We're also told that in the Christmas account and in the Gospels, that this brilliant light in the book of Luke, we read how the glory of God, the glory of the Lord, shone round about all the shepherds that were keeping watch over their flock at night. The night that Jesus took on human flesh as a babe in Bethlehem. The Shekinah glory of God. So again, there are many things that we don't know about these magi, these wise men. But there is one thing we are absolutely positive about. They were extremely wise. Why? For they came, as the Bible tells us, seeking Jesus to worship him. Amen. And that is the wisest thing that all of us can do. Amen. Many today have lost the joy of Christmas. Many today are seeking that joy of Christmas without the worship of Jesus Christ. And that's why they don't have the joy of Christmas anymore. It's an impossibility to have the joy of Christmas without the worship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas joy comes from the whole reason that we have the Christmas season. And that's Jesus Christ himself. Amen. That's where the joy of Christmas comes from. So let us consider a few things about these wise men this morning. First thing I want us to think about is why they sought Jesus. Right in verse 2 it says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." The Bible tells us they came for one reason: to worship Jesus Christ. Now, we think about the time in which they lived. We think about the Bible account, these some 2,000 years ago. That was not an easy task for these wise men, amen, for them to come and worship Christ. They had to encounter many, many difficulties in that day. The first thing, they came despite the difficulties of distance. If many Bible scholars are right, they came all the way from Babylon. They traveled all the way from the east, from Babylon. That'd be about 300 miles. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot to us today, where the world has literally shrunk because of technology and travel. You know, we can get on a plane and be halfway across the world half a day. That was a different time for them, wasn't it? They didn't have planes, trains, or automobiles. They didn't have the luxury of modern travel. They had their left leg and their right leg and the back of a camel, and that was about it. So they came despite the difficulties of distance. Secondly, they also came despite the difficulties of discomfort. Not just the distance, but traveling by foot or traveling by the back of a camel is extremely hard. But they also did it through a dry, hot desert, rocky terrain, mountainous terrain. Think about how they had to travel. And without the soft or the comfort of a soft mattress or the protection of a roof over their head out in the elements. How many stay home from church just because it's raining or it's cold outside? Or it's even too hot outside? A preacher and his wife were getting ready for church on a Sunday morning when a loud clap of thunder rattled their house. The wife yelled, "Honey, did you hear that?" "Yep," said the husband. "About 20,000 Christians just rolled over and went back to sleep." It's amazing how little will keep people from coming to church anymore. You know, on a Sunday afternoon after church service, we turn on the TV and we see sports stadiums filled to the brim with fans in any type of weather, and they're out in the elements. But the fans of Jesus Christ will stay away at the simplest excuse. These wise men came to worship Christ despite distance, despite discomfort, and despite the great dangers that they would encounter. Herod was king, as the Bible tells us. He was king over Israel and Jerusalem at that time. And he had just ordered the execution of hundreds of male babies throughout the entire land. Why? Because he felt threatened. He heard that the king of the Jews was to be born and no one was going to dethrone him. So he had hundreds of innocent baby boys murdered throughout the land. This is also the same Herod that had several of his own sons and wives murdered. These wise men had to come face to face with this madman. Why? Simply so they could find Christ to worship him. Amen. Let me ask this morning, does worshiping Jesus Christ have that same worth to you? Think about all they endured just to go and worship him. Do you get excited to go out and get on the way to church on Sunday morning? Or do you feel like looking for an excuse not to go? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. The Bible says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Amen. When you search for me with all your heart. The word worship comes from the root word worth. And it's really worth-ship. Amen? What is Jesus truly worth to us? We need to think about that. Friends, the greatest enemy of the church today is comfort. Comfort. We don't want to leave our comfort zone. Most of the time, we don't want to leave our comfortable bed, amen? A comfy couch, a favorite lounge chair. To worship Christ is why these wise men came to Jerusalem. Second thing I want us to consider, how they sought to worship Christ. back to our original text and look at verse 1 again. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. They knew where to go. Question is, do we know how to find Jesus Christ? Now, when I say we, I mean mankind in general. Do we know where to look, how to find Jesus Christ? Well, let's consider what made these wise men wise in how they sought after Christ. First and foremost, they listened to God's Holy Spirit. What or who put it in their heart to seek after Christ? Remember we read in Jeremiah, it says, if we truly want to find Christ, we will find him how? With our hearts. Who or what put that feeling in their heart to seek after Christ? Bottom line, it was God's Holy Spirit. Amen? Romans chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says that there is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. How many? None. None of us on our own will ever seek after God. That's a Bible truth. The only reason that we seek after Jesus Christ is because God's Holy Spirit has sought us first. Amen? You are here today for a reason, not by chance. God put it in your heart to seek after Jesus Christ this morning. Why? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friends, that is God's desire for every single one of us. It is God's desire that none of us die apart and undone without Jesus Christ. Amen? John 1:9. The Bible declares that Jesus, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into this world. Jesus Christ is the true light. He is the light of life. And friend, Jesus is seeking us out today. He is seeking that lost soul today. It's not accidental. It's not incidental, it's not coincidental that you and I are here today or that many may be listening to this sermon on podcast or on the radio. It's because Jesus is seeking us out. He's tugging on our hearts to come to him. One thing we have to understand is that you absolutely have the right to ignore the voice of God's Holy Spirit if you want to. God will never force you to come to him. But it is his heart's desire for you to come. Plain and simple. Come and find that peace, that joy, that forgiveness, that new hope that only comes with Jesus Christ. God is calling and drawing us to him the same way he called and drew those wise men to Christ. Second thing that made them wise, they also trusted in the word of God. Verse 4 in our original text. Herod was troubled, so when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, again, these were all the religious leaders of the day. These were the wisest of men about the scriptures. He gathered them all together and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The Bible was very clear and foretold exactly where Jesus would be born in the flesh, in Bethlehem of Judea. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all about one person, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to find Christ, you don't have to go far. Amen. Just look into God's Word. The message is plain and simple, but many will miss it. I want you to think about that for a moment. Those chief priests, those scribes, they were the experts in the Scriptures. They knew the Old Testament, but they missed the Savior on that day. Herod had the most educated scholars at his beck and call. But Herod missed the promises in the book that day. When we think about it, we look around this world, nothing has changed today either, has it? Many know about Jesus, but very few know Him as their personal Savior. Many people know about Jesus intellectually, but few find Him with their heart. And here's the truth. There were many that missed Jesus at His first coming in Bethlehem, even though the Bible clearly spelled it out. We need to understand that the Bible is equally as clear today about His second coming. How many are going to miss Him the second time? Friend, we have to be careful not to make that same eternal mistake about Christ. And we need to make sure we get that message out so this lost and dying world doesn't miss Him. So to help us seek out Christ, these men were wise to listen to His Holy Spirit, to trust in the Bible, and thirdly, they believed in the miracle of that brilliant light. Amen. The Shekinah glory of God led them right to Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, if I had the Shekinah glory of God, I would follow it to Jesus too. Isn't that what the world tells us? If I just saw a miracle, or if I had this, or I had that. You know, the rich man, the story of the rich man and Lazarus in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, he tried to use the same excuse. He said, please send prophets to my brothers so that they don't come to this place. God said, I've sent prophet after prophet and you killed him. You didn't listen. You didn't want to hear. The same is true for us today. But one thing we do know is that God knows exactly, He knew exactly what these men needed in that day to find Christ, and He knows exactly what we need today to find Him as well. God will do whatever is necessary to lead you to the foot of Calvary's cross. That's His heart's desire. If you truly want to find Christ, friend, God will bring you right to Him. It may not be a brilliant light or a great miracle, but God will bring you to Christ if that's your heart's desire. But again, on the flip side, if you don't want anything to do with Christ, over time God will listen. God will stop sending His Holy Spirit to lead you to Him. And God will just go away and leave you alone. Leave you unto yourself. You know, it's the same reason a thief doesn't want to find a police officer. Because he's not looking. Amen? Many people today, the majority of people today, just aren't looking, not concerned. So these wise men were wise in why and how they sought after Christ. And lastly, let's consider what they brought him. Verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Again, these gifts, they were not accidental. They were not coincidental. They were not incidental. They were fundamental. Great spiritual significance in these gifts. We're going to talk more in depth next week about these gifts, but just to touch on them this morning, gold. Why gold? Because that speaks of Jesus' sovereignty as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible tells us they bought frankincense. Now, frankincense was a very sought after incense. Now, you think about incense in the temple, that represented prayers going up to God. But frankincense in that day was a very, very coveted and sought after incense. And what does that speak of? That illustrates Jesus' deity as the incarnate God. Emmanuel, God in the flesh. Then we think about that third gift, myrrh. That one's a little bit more difficult. Myrrh was a very sour, bitter, bitter spice. So why myrrh? Myrrh would not be a gift you would normally give a child. But that myrrh represented his sacrificial death. Myrrh. Jesus was born in Bethlehem for one reason: to die on Calvary. Most people will embrace the cradle, but won't proclaim the cross. Amen. Let's go to the shopping malls today. Most don't have the problem with that little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in that manger. But they will fall well short of proclaiming the cross. Amen. They love that little babe in Bethlehem, but not the Christ of Calvary's cross. Why? Because they don't know him. They don't truly know who he is. Amen. This was God in the flesh. Jesus said, if you ever wanted to see the Father, I'm standing right here. Here I am. He chose to leave the glory of heaven. He chose to take on the limitations of human flesh, to become a man, so that he could die to take our place on that old rugged cross. What a special child. What a wonderful Savior. Amen. Wise men will truly seek after him.